school is in session. Well, it is for me anyway. I know you may not be on a higher education journey, but you are planning for or are in the midst of a shift in how you plan and spend your time. I know this because you are an Organize 365 podcast listener. Collectively, we are all lifelong learners, pursuing the best version of ourselves and putting into action the complete organization cycle. Over the next 4 years, I will share week by week what I am continually decluttering to free up my time and space, how I'm organizing my days, my responsibilities, and my work, both seen and unseen, as I take captive every minute at my discretion to increase my capacity and productivity in pursuit of a PhD in psychology so that I can have a seat at the academic table in the discussion of how we use our homes and complete our housework and home organization tasks. Oh, there's the school bell. Let's see what I learned this week. So this is the final episode that I'm going to post in this PhD journey podcast. As I mentioned a few podcasts ago, really, how much more can I possibly share about this? And two, that's really all you need. Like, all we need is to actually get started, iterate, and identify with whatever we are starting. So I now identify as a PhD candidate. When I started this podcast, you probably heard a lot more hesitation in my voice and a lot more confusion. And now I really feel clear about what we're doing and what this is going to look like. I want to end this series by talking about how I'm planning for the next trimester and beyond, and what is different now than what I was living with in December before I started this journey. Before I started this journey, I had so much free time, I did not know what to do with it. And actually, Greg and I were both sleeping like on average 9 hours a night. Like, that's a lot of sleep. And I was exhausted. Like, I was going to bed at 8 o'clock at night and sleeping 9 hours and 10 hours on the weekend and so much time on my hands. I didn't know what to do with the time I had. And I now look back and I realize that that was very preparatory for where I am today. And that the season of sleeping 8, 9, 10 hours a night, which was about 18 months, was definitely created the energy and the resources and the reserves that I have in my body right now for this journey that I have just started. So I'm super, super grateful that I just went ahead and slept all that time and had all of that restorative time, because I don't have very much anymore. And honestly, I think I'm like, how did I fill that time? And I know. I was listening to multiple audiobooks a week and like 40 podcast episodes and like so many other things. I'm now sleeping on average 6 to 8 hours a night, usually around 7. And that seems to be just fine. I'm not tired. If you noticed in my first plan, I had myself napping like every single day and taking a rest. That has not materialized. I was doing it in the beginning just to make sure I had that time, and I didn't actually need it. Like, it ended up not being needed rest time. So I gave it up. Now, towards the middle of the trimester, there was a hard little stint in there where there were too many things going on, and I did lose a lot of sleep. And I did take a nap like 3 days in a row, but then I popped back out into no nap. So going forward in my planning, I'm not going to plan a nap at all. But just know that if I need one, I'll take one like a normal human. And that if I go to bed around 10 o'clock at night, 10 or 11 at night, I'm having no problem getting up for work the next day at 6:30. So my bedtime has just moved back 2 to 3 hours, and I'm not seeing any negative ramifications of that. One of the things I did is I dedicated Mondays and Thursdays to school days. At first, I tried to kind of like check in at work, and then after a couple of weeks, they stopped emailing me and I stopped emailing them. It ended up being great. So Mondays and Thursdays, I don't do anything work-related. I mean, I check, but usually there's nothing to do. And so I'm really able to focus a lot on my schoolwork. That has been fabulous. This trimester, my classes have been Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. But the next two trimesters, my classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights. So that'll be great. I'll do my schoolwork all day on Monday. I'll have classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. and then I will do any assignments or catch up I need on Thursday. And so my school week will start Monday morning and it will end Thursday at 4:30. And then I hope not to be doing anything school related until the next Monday. Now this trimester, I was spending 4 to 6 hours on Saturdays in school. And there's two reasons I can identify why that happened and why it will not be happening next trimester. So why that happened was because Grayson never ended up in daycare at all this trimester. So there were many, many Mondays and Tuesdays in which I became a babysitter during the day and I lost schoolwork time or work time during the week. And so on the weekend, I made up that time. Hopefully, by the time we start the next trimester or soon thereafter, Grayson will finally be in daycare. And then therefore, my Monday through Friday workday time will not also be needed to double as being a grandma. So it's been a long time coming. I'm looking forward to it. And once we make that investment in daycare, which is a big investment, then I am going to hold myself more accountable for not doing non-work related things Monday through Friday, which in theory should open up my weekends either to using those Saturdays again to catch up on work or do big work projects if needed, or be more present at home. So I'm really trying to figure out how do I make my Monday morning through Friday at 4:30 time more school and work related so that Friday at 4:30 through Monday morning can be more family focused again as it was before. The office, I would say that the area in which got shortchanged in my first trimester was my actual organized 365 work. I kept up on recording my podcasts. A lot of what I did inside of organized 365 was travel in the first trimester. That was just fine. Meeting days happened just fine. But because Tuesday and Wednesday were the only days we could guarantee that I would be in the office, I pushed a lot of things on Tuesday and Wednesday, which I think really overloaded some of the staff in that all of it was there. I don't think it was bad. I think it's great to have all your meetings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays so that you have Thursday through Monday to get your work done and you're not going to be interrupted with meetings. But there were some big unexpected things that happened and then all of those meetings got shoved on Tuesdays, which meant literally on Tuesdays for Stephanie and I, all we did was show up and start at 8:30 and we were done at 4 and like, other than going to the bathroom, there were 2 days where I didn't even have lunch. Like, I didn't even shove anything in my mouth. I didn't have time to microwave anything. That's how fast we were running. I don't think that that's good long term. But to have 1 day a week that way is not terrible. So I do purpose to have Tuesdays and Wednesdays at the office so that I've got 2 days. We can spread this out a little bit more. And I do plan on being present in the office on Fridays every week. So we've got 3 days where we know that Lisa's actually in the office. And the big thing is going to help with that is, one, not as much travel, although I do have travel scheduled. That's what took me out on a lot of the Fridays. And Wednesdays, too, because I moved my school day from Thursday to Wednesday because I'd be traveling on Thursday. So travel definitely knocks me down to 1 day a week in the office, but also daycare. So when Grayson is in daycare, then I could be more fully present at the office. Like I said, I don't think there was any negative ramifications for Organized 365. If anything, I think it was great because the team really got to own and manage their parts of the company, which of course they're highly capable and qualified of doing. They don't need me for that. And then the last thing that I plan on doing is going ahead and enjoying our week at the beach, which is at the end of July, and it is during school. So I will be attending my school classes on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Some of the classes, it's okay if you miss. I have not let it be okay that I miss any class just because, I mean, what are you paying for? You're paying to go to school. So I plan on attending my classes. That'll be no problem. But I have noticed that you can work ahead. You can do your schoolwork ahead. You can get the articles and get started on your papers ahead. Like, I had no problem staying 1 to 2 weeks ahead of all of my assignments this trimester. And so I plan on keeping that cadence up in all future trimesters. One, mostly for the unexpected. I mean, eventually in this 4 years, I'm going to get the flu. I mean, the odds are I'm going to be sick or somebody in my family is going to be sick or something is going to happen. And I think if I just stay ahead, then I will be more available and present for the things that happen that are unexpected. And obviously, you can always ask for extensions and things at school, but also you can just be proactive and not need them. Like you can work ahead. So for our lab, I was able to read and take the quizzes for next trimester. I already have all of those done. Like they were unlocked and you could do them on time or you could do them early. So I did them all early. So that's already done. Anything like that that I could do, I do in advance. That way, when we have our week at the beach at the end of July, which will be at the end of the third month of the trimester, I'll be able to really enjoy that time with the family. And that will be very, very meaningful to Greg. So I want to prioritize that. This has been such a joy for me to actually verbally process this change with you. And I hope that you received value out of it in watching me become a PhD candidate is basically what you watch. And that's what you're doing. Like in everything that you do, whenever you undertake something new, you are changing your identity. You're adding to the person that you already are, the person that you're going to become. And the process of it happens first for yourself. Like if I didn't record these podcast episodes, no one would really have noticed the changes that I went through, probably other than Greg and Abby. Honestly, all they're noticing right now is the negative of losing access to me in the time that they have. So it is very helpful for me to have shared with you why I'm doing what I'm doing, how I'm doing what I'm doing, to reaffirm to myself that this is worth it. Like this change and this growth that I'm going through is worth it for me as a person, worth it for our company, and is a worthy endeavor. I have recently, if you've listened to the Embrace Experience, you know that I do this process when I go to bed and I think about something positive or something that I want to have occur in my personal life or in my business, or I think through what something is going to be like when it's finished before I fall asleep. And I fall asleep and often dream about whatever that is. And recently, I've gotten to the point where I now identify enough as a PhD candidate that I'm thinking about what it's going to be like when I actually am Dr. Woodruff. And that's the first time I've said that out loud. So when I was going to bed the other night, I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, how old will you be? I was like, oh, I'll be turning 55. Oh, that's a good number. Okay, so you'll be turning 55. It's 4 years from now. What is it going to be like? I'm like, oh, well, by the time I'm 55, we will have moved out of this building that we're in and we will be in the new building that we will have purchased, hopefully. Oh, yeah, we will. Oh, and how old will the kids be? Oh, well, you know, Abby's going to be 26 and Joey's going to be 27 and Grayson is going to be 6. Oh, my goodness. He's going to be starting school. So he'll be starting full-time school and I will be ending school. Okay, what else? And I just play out this whole, like, what is it going to be like? And I've started dreaming about two different trips that I want to take after I become a doctor. One trip that I don't know who's going to go on these trips, but I have these two definite trips. So now I'm thinking about these trips, how long they're going to be, where they're going to be, what I'm going to do on these trips, who's going to come with me on these trips when I'm done with this. And I'm getting really, really excited about it. And this is how you can pull yourself forward into a vision of something that has not happened yet. Is it going to be difficult and arduous to get my PhD? I mean, yeah, I guess. It's supposed to be, right? And it's going to be a lot of work. And I am going to become a completely different person. Like I can already tell how I analyze research differently. And my critical thinking skills have already grown by leaps and bounds. And I'm like not even hardly started yet. So I know I'm going to be a different person. And I know that the process of getting a PhD is transformative. And there's a lot of work involved. I don't know how arduous it needs to be. And I don't know how soul-sucking it needs to be. I think that there will be seasons where I'm going to say, what have I done? But I think there are going to be many, many more seasons where I say, I can't believe I have the privilege of doing this. I can't believe that this opportunity exists, that I can blend the family life that I want and the business that I want with full-time PhD because I could do it asynchronously online. Like, what an amazing opportunity and experience that I've been given the gift to be a part of. And so bring it. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to do the reps. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to stay up later. I'm going to continue to iterate and change my schedule and run this race that I have the opportunity and privilege to run. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited about the actual process of becoming a doctor. But even more, I am so, so excited about the research that we're going to be able to do and bring to light, and the conversations that we're going to be able to have in the media and with large consumer packaged goods companies and inside of academia for the benefit of everyone at home, because this research is not being done. And if not me, who? And I'm going to find out the who's, because there are some who's that are already working on this research, and I can't wait to get to know them. So in the next two trimesters, I will be working on being accepted as a PhD candidate and getting even clearer on the research questions that I want to research, and reading all of the literature out there already in these fields of invisible work and learning the skill of organization and executive function and how that works at home, and really becoming an expert on who's doing this research. And then, you guys, I'm going to go find them. Like, I'm going to email them like, hi, I saw that you did some research and I was wondering if you wanted to partner. We could have a conversation. Because that's what we need. Like, we need people in academia and in research figuring out what's going on at home so that we can have better resources, structures, and supports for hashtag adulting. That's what we need. Because you are amazing and you are uniquely created to do something. I think I was uniquely created to start Organize 365. And now I think that the next part of that journey for me is to take what I have learned anecdotally and observationally with real humans in real houses and figure out how to do even more research and understand the language of academia so that the conversation can be had at a larger level and I can be part of that conversation. And I want to do a lot of research. I want to do a lot of research. Huge. Wait till you see the idea I have for 5 years from now that I'm already working for inside of my head. So I hope that inspires you. I hope that you are inspired to go after what you are uniquely created to do. Like, there's nothing in Organize 365 that is about you becoming more like me. Nothing. Everything is about you becoming more like you, increasing your confidence, increasing your organization so that you have more time, so that you're bored like I was last year and you have so much time you don't know what to do with, that you're doing like multiple puzzles per week while you listen to 3 audiobooks and 40, like there's only so much consuming we can do. Eventually, you have to take all that consumption and you have to put it into action. You're uniquely created to do something. And you don't have to know what that is to take the first step. It's an iterative process, a never-ending process. Like, for as long as we're on the planet, we get to keep going. One of the coolest things that I heard in the 4 different presentations I went to at Fielding in the last week about the different PhDs that you can earn is that the average age of the Fielding graduate attendee student is 28 to 82. And I love that because I'm like, oh yeah, I could go back and I could get another PhD. I could take more classes. Like, there is no age at which you cannot go back to school. There is no age at which you need to stop. Like, I don't understand this whole retirement idea. I don't plan on doing it. I plan on traveling a lot more and doing puzzles, which is what I think retirement is. But I don't plan on stopping running my company or learning or growing. Martha Stewart is 81 now, still going strong. Most companies that you know of today were started by middle-aged people, not started by 20-year-olds in the tech startup thing. No, most companies were started by people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, like 80s. It's never too late. You're never too old. That you can find what you're uniquely created to do at any age. I think the only thing that you need is to believe in yourself and to listen to yourself, to have enough time that you're not just reacting to everything that's going on around you and responding to everybody else's needs for your time, and really listen to yourself. Like, you have a burning desire. You're just maybe, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Like, I'm a little unusual in how much I share on the podcast, and also a little unusual in wanting what I want and going after it and telling you about it as I'm doing it. You don't have to tell everybody like me. You could do it in secret. That's totally fine. But do it. Explore it. There's no cost to going to any university webinar and finding out about the programs that they offer. You can go to information sessions in anything that you're interested in, whether it's academia or sports or entrepreneurship or anything. Like, just start attending some info sessions. Try it on. See if you like it. Thanks for listening.